Hi, this is Pat. Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. Children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present, one's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing. Okay, the schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in the child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Wow. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. And in so much as things change, they remain the same. I want you to listen to this interview. This is from February of 2019 regarding Robert Mueller, errand boy for the New World Order, and what he has been up to, what he did, who he is right back in the center of the news today, right back in the middle. Check out this interview that I did with John Malkovich, attorney John Malkovich. Check this out. And welcome back to Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Well, folks, really glad to have you with me. Hour number two. And we've got a great guest lined up for you today. He is a senator and an attorney out of Louisiana. And he has written a new book, Robert Mueller, Errand Boy for the New World Order. I want to welcome to the program Attorney John Malkovich. John, welcome aboard. So good to have you today.
It's great to be on your show, Pastor, and what a wonderful honor and privilege to be on the program of a Christian, member of the clergy, Christian clergy. That's what an honor for me.
Well, thank you, sir. I greatly appreciate that. You know, I'm thrilled that you've written this book. I know that your background is on the Democratic side of the aisle there in Louisiana. What brought you to this conclusion that Robert Mueller is running an agenda for people outside of our country and to the detriment of our country?
Sure. Well, and number one, I'm not real hung up on party labels. I think we all need to get back in America to the Bible and the Constitution. Number two, I think maybe one thing that I'm good at, if I'm good at anything, and there's maybe not many things I am that good at, but if I am staring at the obvious long enough and hard enough, I may start to figure out the obvious. And what I perceived over the last period of years is that Donald Trump, President Trump, is an outsider. He is a maverick, a cowboy, a rebel. In Montana, where I'm from, we might call him a political bronc stomper. He's just outside the clique. He's not part of the establishment. And arrayed against him are a series of past presidents. And I will say the Bushes, the Clintons, Obamas, none of them like him. They're all against him. And it's very interesting when you see Mueller, Comey, Rosenstein all click up with, you know, and connect with mm-hmm. the Bushes and the Clintons and the Obamas and against President Trump. And I think, wait a minute, President Trump is here trying to do some good things. I don't know of anyone that's ever accused him of being a Sunday school teacher, yet here is this man. Paradoxically, in fact, I was just on the phone literally with a statistics professor in Louisiana. I'm not authorized to use his name, but I will try to, maybe we can get him on the show. Okay. He said, basically, we had this conversation. What was the statistical likelihood that President Trump, never known to be a Sunday school teacher in the past, would be one of the strongest spokesmen and warriors and fighters for the faith? It's just crazy. But he stood up for the church. He stood up for freedom of expression of our Christian beliefs. He stood up for unborn babies and against the abortionists and against Planned Parenthood. Yeah. He stood up for being fair, America getting a fair shake in our trade deals. He stood up for protecting our borders against weaponized immigration. He stood up for American sovereignty and us not being bossed around. So, in other words, I see President Trump trying to do some good things, and then all these people ganging up on him, and many in the mainstream media with him ganging up on us. So wait a minute. Why, if President Trump's trying to do something good and they're trying to take him out, I'm thinking they may have a bad agenda. And that's kind of what caused me to look at Robert Mueller.
Well, you start to add up. You're an attorney. You do trial. As you look at trial, you have to look at evidence. And you have to look at the mounting amount of evidence that's just there, as you say, it presents itself. How do you fight with, you know, truth is truth. There's always two different lenses, but the facts never change. The facts are the facts. And it's
My goodness.
Go ahead. Am I preaching to the choir?
I don't want to interrupt you because you're on a hot streak, Pastor.
Am I preaching to the choir, brother?
I mean, you're right. The facts don't change because someone's in the Republican Party or the Democratic Party or the Liberal or whatever. They are what they are. And in this case, in fact, the real irony of this is that, you know, many that probably would self-identify as leftist, liberal, progressive, blah, 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 Democrat, would defend Robert Mueller. Go back 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, he was being heavily criticized. And by most of the people that were criticizing him would probably identify themselves as being left, Democrat, whatever side of the equation. And if you want, and this is your show, not mine, but if you want me to do a biopic or 35-second, 85-second, whatever, flyover of Robert Mueller's career, it's astonishing.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Whitey Bulger was the Winter Hill mobster in Boston, a bunch of dead bodies, and the amazing thing about it is the FBI was protecting him, tipping him off and protecting him when other law enforcement agencies tried to put him on ice. And not only was the FBI in Boston protecting him, they were participating in him with him in murders. Well, we've got Whitey Bulger, at least 19 bodies have been attributed to him. He's been convicted of 11. And in the midst of this, Robert Mueller is the assistant U.S. attorney in Boston and then the acting U.S. attorney in Boston for a period of over 5 years, give or take, right in the middle of Whitey Bulger's reign of terror and FBI corruption, collusion, people getting killed. And this is our preeminent law enforcement officer. What did Robert Mueller do about Whitey Bulger and the FBI running a murder incorporated in Boston? He didn't raise his voice, didn't lift a finger, saw something, did nothing. We can fast forward a little bit to Pan Am 103. That's the flight from London to America that got blown up on December 21st, 1988. 270 lives lost. It was known almost immediately in the international intelligence community, including the U.S. Intelligence agencies, who did it. It was Ahmed Jibril, a Palestinian terrorist, paid by Iran to blow up the plane. It was Mansour Al-Qassar, a Syrian drug dealer that helped get the bomb on board. He had a pipeline of paid-off baggage handlers that would put dope on planes, and in this case, they helped get a bomb on board. And then there were some crooked CIA officials that knew the plane was going to be blown sky high. They gave the green light for the flight to take off, told the agents on the ground, let it go, let it blow up, you know. And so inner stage left Robert Mueller, what does he do? Well, he makes sure that none of the guilty people get harassed, inconvenienced, let alone put behind bars. Jibril, the terrorist who had the bomb belt, a get-out-of-jail-free card. Mansour Al-Qassar, the guy who helped get the bomb on board, he gets a get-out-of-jail-free card. The CIA officials, they don't even get a slap on the wrist. They get a mulligan, in effect. So he lets the guilty people responsible for 270 people being murdered in midair totally off the hook, and he targets scapegoats, two Libyan intelligence officers who had about as much to do with the bombing as two PE teachers in Fort Worth, Texas. We can talk about BCCI. Some people call it the Bank of Commerce and Credit International. Some call it the Bank of Crooks and Criminals International. President Bush Sr., President Bush 41, brings Mueller in to sweep the evidence under the carpet and make sure that the billionaire banksters that are financing drug trafficking, terrorism, international black ops, and illegal arms sales basically get off with a slap on the wrist. We can then move forward to, of course, Randy Weaver and his family get shot up in Ruby Ridge. At that point, Mueller was high up in the Department of Justice, and I don't have any evidence at this point that he helped plan the federal siege, but what we know is, of course, federal agents shoot up the family. The mom gets shot between the eyes as she's standing unarmed in the doorway of her home holding her 10-month-old infant daughter. 14-year-old son gets submachine gunned to death in the back as he's running away from what the family said was a federal ambush. The dad, Randy Weaver, they tried to kill him with a high-powered rifle and a scope, but he moved at the last second. He got injured, not killed. Robert Mueller was incensed about it, because federal agents shot up a family? No, he was incensed, according to the people that were there. He was incensed that anyone had the audacity to criticize federal agents for shooting up a family. 9/11 gets kind of hairy because George Bush, President 43, appoints Mueller to head the FBI 1 week before 9/11. Immediately, the dust has hardly even settled on the devastation of the World Trade Centers and approximately 2,900 lives, and there's Mueller in an overdrive flying bin Ladens and Saudi officials and royalty out of the United States so they cannot be interviewed, interrogated, or investigated. And we, of course, we now know that the Saudis bankrolled the hijackers while they were in America for many months, 10 months, a year, give or take, before the attacks even occurred. The Saudis were giving them money, lodging, network, logistics support. So he bails them all out. And, of course, to make the Mueller method bring it full circle, he rounds up a bunch of hapless immigrants in New York City who had nothing to do with it and puts them in jail and, according to some, personally supervises their mistreatment. Basically let the guilty go free, persecute the innocent, and he did a bunch of other stuff to cover up 9/11. We probably don't want to bore your listeners. And bring it forward, though, to anthrax. Yeah. He had that investigation, and it was probably a government lab. The people that have researched that and knew the most about it said it had to be probably an American lab that had connections to the American military or American intelligence agencies. But instead he scapegoats Dr. Bruce Ivins, who actually had nothing to do with it. Dr. Ivins ends up dead. Official story, suicide. Other people have their doubts. But he died just as Mueller's phony, falsified anthrax investigation was fixing to face the judicial and public scrutiny inherent in legal proceedings. And one of the top anthrax, stop me if I'm getting boring, but...
No. Well,
Richard.
Yeah, go ahead.
One of the top anthrax experts in the world, Richard Spurzel, said, look, in so many words, Ivins didn't do this. He couldn't have. He said, there's only four or five people in America that even know how to produce this highly weaponized anthrax that was used in the attacks. He says, Ivins isn't one of them. He said, I am. Ivins didn't even know how to do this. And he said, I'm one of the people that could do it. It would take me a year with my own lab and my own staff, and what would have taken me a year as one of the top experts in the world. They're saying this guy that didn't even know how to do it did by himself in a couple of days. He says it's ridiculous. Ivins' handwriting didn't match the messages sent. There was no evidence that he was in the area where the mailings were sent. So it's another Mueller cover-up. And, of course, just to wind this down and land this plane of the Robert Mueller flyover, he told America... And he told Congress under oath, in so many words, Hussein and or Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. That turned out to be a lie. There was zero weapons of mass destruction found. And that was a meme that was used to get us into the war of Iraq. We've had 4,500 American soldiers killed, spent about $1.7 trillion, scores of thousands of Iraqi civilians killed. And the surveillance state, Mueller lied and said, look, if we would have had a surveillance state in place spying on all law-abiding citizens, we could have stopped 9/11. 9/11 happened because we didn't have a surveillance state in place. We had no warnings in 9/11, which was a lie. We had a ton of warnings. The White House and the executive heads of the federal agencies ignored it for whatever reason. People have to figure that out on their own. So he lied, and we now have a surveillance state. And largely due to Mueller's lies and lobbying to Congress. So we've got the federal government spying on every telephone call, every cell phone. Anyway, I've gone on too long. I'm sorry.
No. Well, but you have presented the preponderance of evidence that many of us have already, you know, some of this is even deeper than I had gone with regards to who Mueller is and his connectivity to so many. But basically, Mueller's the henchman of those who would destroy our Constitution, in a nutshell.
Those are classic words. I need to write that down. He's the henchman of those that would destroy our Constitution, in a nutshell.
That's where we're at. And you've now written a book. I assume that you have security.
Well, I do. I have got friends. I've got God. I have people praying for me.
There you go.
And we have a great nation that's rising out of this oppression by federal agents and the Clintons, the Obamas, and the Bushes, and all our games. And people like Pastor Greg are rising up as one and saying, we've had enough. Our president is imperfect, and we're going to take him just the way he is, because we finally, in over the first time in over a quarter of a century, this is my opinion now.
Not
everyone agrees with this. For the first time in at least quarter of a century, we actually have a president that believes in something.
Yeah.
Do I agree with everything he does? I may not. Do I agree with everything he says? Probably not. But I love the fact that he actually believes in something. And I believe, this is my gut, I think he loves America. And, of course, this will come to, as a shock to some people. I believe he loves people. And I don't even, you know, he gets trashed for, well, he just cares about Americans. He doesn't care about anybody else. When is the last time that an American president went overseas and destroyed a terrorist organization, ISIS, in order to protect people that he would never see, that would never see America, that ISIS was devouring people in the Mideast.
Yeah.
And so, well, he doesn't care about anybody, Americans, and he doesn't care. Baloney. Well, folks, go ahead. I need, you know, if this is open line talk radio, if people want to call in and disagree, tell me something another president's done in the last 25 years that had no direct benefit. Well, of course, I think destroying ISIS doesn't benefit everyone, but most directly, he was sparing millions of people in the Mideast from the scourge of ISIS.
Well, and John, let's not forget that when America is strong, the world is secure.
Oh my goodness.
Okay.
Come on.
When America is strong, the world is secure, because the bad guys know that the sheriff is back in town, and they know not to push. And this president, whether it was North Korea, when they said, oh, don't challenge North Korea, my God, you'll start a nuclear war. No, you start nuclear wars by being a pacifist, okay? You open the gate to Hitler's by being a pacifist. That's how you open up those doors. Jesus walked into a temple and overthrew the tables.
Come on.
Okay? Jesus said to Pilate, when he said, I hold your life in my hand, Jesus scoffed at him and said, nobody, let me explain to you how the world really works. I've got legions that are waiting on my command right now, and if I want, your Roman Empire is done today. But that's not why I'm here, and that's why I turn my life over to you. You don't have control of me. I'm in charge. Don't forget it.
I love the way you're preaching.
We as Christians need to stop being panty-waist pussyfoots and stop being true men of God. The men that God loved in the Old Testament were David's men of courage and courageousness. And what did God say to Joshua? Be bold and of good courage. What does Hebrews 4:16 say? Be bold. Come boldly before my throne. Don't come timidly. Don't come crawling out of the dark. Come boldly before my throne. You are your royalty. That's what Chosen Generation's about, John. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy people.
You're just trying. Listen. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, brother. We're just having a conversation, and I'm having fun with it. You know, it's good stuff. Go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say, you're trying to get me fired up, and it's working.
Good. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. And we need to, and that's the goal, man. We got to be fired up together and understand this. What we're watching happen in Washington, D.C., the Muellers, the Comeys, the McCabes, the Strikes, the Pages, the Deep State, the Swamp, the Rosens, absolutely. Let's not forget him. You know, these people need to be brought up on charges. The Clintons, the Obamas, the Bushes. Look, our country has been being run under for 100 years, and it needs to stop.
Yeah, and I will say, and it's really interesting, Pastor Greg, that as I talk to people across America, I mean, you, listen, you're someone that studies, you're someone that thinks for yourself. You, Sean Hannity and Chris Cuomo are not writing out your script. And by the way, I respect a lot of the things that Sean Hannity has done and really do appreciate it. But I'm talking to people across America. You are too. They get it. People get it. And our generation, we haven't been dumbed down by Common Core. That's another fight we can talk about another day. We still have a generation of people that can think for themselves, and people are putting the dots together really by themselves, because what we're saying is perhaps not taught in any colleges. I mean, I think it's probably hard nowadays from what I'm hearing. I'm not an expert on this. I think it's hard to get a job teaching current events or history, political science, if you think like Pastor Greg or John Milkovich. But the fact of the matter is, there, people all over America are having very high-level political conversations, discussion, but they're unique and they're really invigorating and innovating because they're getting down to basic common sense. We value freedom.
Yeah.
We live in a constitutional republic. These people in Washington are trying to run over us. We understand that President Trump isn't perfect. We get that. But guess what else we get? He's fighting for us.
He is the average saved Christian American, okay, who has dirt in his past and needs the blood of Christ in order to get right about it, okay? And it, you know what? It really ticks me off about this, too. And that is this. As a pastor, my job is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what does the gospel do? It kills the old man and raises up a new man in its place. That's the bloody fact. It kills the old man and raises up a new man in its place. Now, either we accept that Donald Trump was a sinner just like us, who found a savior just like us, who's trying to make sure and get his life right before he meets the Father in heaven, okay?
Yeah.
Just like us. And let's quit talking about what he did before and let's focus on who he is now. Because I sure as heck don't want people talking to me about all the crap I did in my past. I want to talk about where I'm at today, because I'm a new creation in Christ, and I need to remind myself about it just as much as I want others to see it in me.
Yeah, and of course I know we're going a little bit theological, and I know I'm in deep water talking to you, obviously. I could tell that very quickly on in the conversation. But so I'm going to, while you're soaring over the tops of mountains, I'm going to be kind of flying a plane at tree level. But I think Satan wants us to be beaten up on ourselves all the time and depressed and discouraged and despairing because of our own inadequacies. And I feel like God's saying, look, I've called you to soar. I understand your issues. I love you anyway. And God looks at us and he says, and we're saying, God, we're not much. And he's looking at us and he's saying, yeah, but you're all I got to work with. So get back in the fight. Don't be discouraged. Hold your head up. And as you said, as he told Joshua, be bold and be of good
courage. Amen. John Milkovich is my guest, folks. Robert Mueller, Errand Boy for the New World Order is the name of the book. You've got to get this book. It exposes Mueller. We need to buy these books, and we need to send them to the Department of Justice. William Barr needs to read this book, okay? We need to send this to the FBI. We need to send this to the Intelligence Committee in the Senate, because I don't know if we'd get anywhere with Adam Schiff, but maybe, I don't know, John, maybe we would. Maybe with your convincing argument, perhaps he might hear this. I don't know. It's a possibility. Thank you. Go ahead. Closing thought.
Pastor Greg, this has just been such a real privilege to visit with you. You're such a dynamic, anointed, charismatic expositor of the gospel. One of the things we do in the book, I dare say, and I hope that I have never said this is a great book because I was involved, but I do believe it's a great book. And what we say in the book, and we say it right up front in the acknowledgments, look, we're honoring the people who made the discoveries upon which this book is founded. We're talking about, of course, we all get mad at the FBI and the CIA, and their bureaucracies have plenty of corruption. We all know this. But the matter and point of fact, our book is largely built upon the declarations and revelations and the truths that were dug up and expressed by federal agents at risk to themselves. It's built upon the discoveries of soldiers and cops and veterans and the families of 9/11 victims and researchers and investigators and international authors. So the book celebrates courageous people speaking out for truth, justice, freedom, patriot for America, and for godliness. And I will say this, our book is not even based simply upon the writings and research and investigations of Americans, but international authors and investigators as well. And it's just a great opportunity to honor the people that have done all this work and over the years and work so hard to bring the truth to light.
It's in the spirit of this, and this is something that our founders said, and it is the only thing. Benjamin Franklin was asked, what kind of government do you have? A constitutional republic, if you can keep it, he said. And these words, I think, ring true, and I think we could close with this. We pledge our lives, our fortunes. I'm going to cry. And our sacred honor. That is what this book sounds to me like. It's the basis of individuals that were willing to make that pledge once again. It is the only thing that will secure life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and the longstanding of our Constitution. It's been men willing to do that for the past 260 years, and it will only happen if more men are willing to stand up and do it. John, I salute you for bringing this work forward. Thank you.
Beautifully stated, Pastor.
John Milkovich, again, the book, Robert Mueller, Errand Boy for the New World Order. Pick it up today wherever fine books are sold. John, I will look forward to your return visit.
It'll be my privilege, Pastor Greg. It's been such a distinct privilege visiting with you today.
Thank you, sir. All right, we are going to take a break. When we come back, Mike Dougherty, author of The Devil Inside the Beltway.
The cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. Clean Slate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution, or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your Clean Slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your Clean Slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size My Pillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size, regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Did you know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
There we go. And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topics off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. We're doing throwback today, a little bit of throwback today. And part of that throwback is, well, take a look at this. I drew this up out of the vault, okay? Check this out. This is from 2017, but this is about 6 months before the accident. Check it out.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.PastorGregYoung.org. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. Tomorrow on the program, Don Jans is back with me for our first program of the year. John LeBoutillier, Wayne Allen Root, and Brian Crabtree. Should be a great program tomorrow, so don't miss a minute of it. And if you only get an hour of the program, we do a two-hour program, so if you would like to hear the whole 2 hours or the second hour, you can pick that up at the website, PastorGregYoung.org. It is archived there, and you can listen there as well, and we'll encourage you to do that. Well, I'm excited to have back also with me as we begin this brand new year, a gentleman who is one of the inspirations for why I do the program that I do. He's filled executive roles in politics, marketing, and advertising, media development, research, and ministry. He founded the Barna Research Group in 1984, helped become a leading marketing research firm focused on the intersection of faith and culture before selling it in 2009. Through Barna Group, he has served several hundred parachurch ministries, thousands of Christian churches, and many other nonprofit and for-profit organizations, as well as the U.S. military. He currently serves as executive director at American Culture and Faith Institute, a division of United in Purpose, and is president of MetaFormation, a faith development organization. And actually, he is now at the Arizona Christian University running the Cultural Research Center there. Just wanted to give you a current update on where Mr. Barney is. And we're hoping to get him back on the program. We've had a little timing schedule issue because, we're just on too early for Mr. Barney. It's really early in the morning out there in California. Here we go.
I want to welcome George Barney to the program. George, welcome and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. It's great to be back with you.
Great to have you back. Well, shift would be the word of the day, right? We've shifted from the election to now what do we do and how do we do it and who should be doing it. And you've got some interesting results that you've come across as it relates to that particular issue.
Yeah, you know, in this most recent survey that we were doing, we were trying to figure out, well, who is it that people believe has influence on them? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been doing this kind of research for a long time, but we'd never actually done that with this group that we call SageCons, the spiritually active, governance-engaged conservatives, people who are really devoted to their Christian faith, and because of that faith, they believe that politics and government really matter. So they pay attention to it, they get involved in it, and so forth. They represent, you know, 10 to 12% of the aggregate adult population. And so as we looked at who they think influences them, there are a couple interesting things that came out. First, when you look at the top of the list, there were three entities that a large majority say continue to have a lot of influence on their lives. And those entities are the Bible, the religious teaching that they receive, and the values that were taught to them by their parents. But we asked about 18 different influence entities, and, you know, while seeing those three at the top of the heap is in a way not surprising because these are people who are devoted to their faith. The thing that maybe surprised me more was who they put at the bottom of the list. And so, you know, there were a number of different entities that very few people said had a lot of influence on their thinking and behavior. Advertising, only 1% listed them. Current music, only 3%. The news media, only 7%. The entertainment media, only 2%. Sports stars and celebrities, less than 0.5%. Painting, sculpture, and art, less 1%.
Wow.
Those are awfully small numbers. And given other research that I've done in the past, that I found very revealing, very unfortunate, and still a bit shocked.
Well, it is. Now, why do you say that it's unfortunate?
Well, I think it's unfortunate because, to me, what it does is it displays an element of either denial or ignorance as to the enormous influence that the media have on all of us. You know, and it's interesting because throughout the election, you know, the last 2 years, we've been studying the attitudes and views of SageCons, and we know that 98%, 99%, 97% in that range from survey to survey said that they know that the mainstream media distort reality. They know that they are subjective in their reporting. They know that they do not report facts as much as they report ideology. You know, they know that they are not fair in their reporting. So, I mean, we have this enormous proportion of this group of people who tell us that can't trust the media. But on the other hand, to say that they have no influence on us, well, we know that that's simply not true. We know it from past research I've done. We know it from beliefs or perspectives that SageCons, as well as the rest of Americans, hold. We know it from the way that attitudes have changed.
Now, isn't it interesting? I want you to understand that this is coming from 2017. So this is almost 6 years ago. Actually, it's more than 6 years ago. This was January, the first of the year, 2017, after the election has been decided
And at the point, it's 1/5/2017. So it's 15 days before the inauguration of President Trump. But it is after the election of 2016 has happened. And now Mr. Barna has done this research. And in the research, the discussion is how much influence does the media have? And now when we look back, think about this, look back 6 years and look at the influence that media has had. Look at how they have locked things in. Look at the influence the media had in 2020. Look at the conversations that we've had about Nicholas Sandman and the Covington boys and the lawsuits, of course, that were filed. But look at the influence that they had. Look at the influence that the media had in Kenosha. Look at the influence that the media has had on the Freddie Gray story and the Michael Brown story. And I mean, you look at all of these issues, and I know some of those were prior to Trump coming into office. But this is why President Trump consistently called them the fake news. Fake news. And now look what's happening today. Look what's taking place in media today. Look at how they continue to manipulate. It was really quite disgusting. The coronation of the King of England was a beautiful ceremony if they had just shut up and you watch them honor God, honor Christ, honor that it was Jesus and them saying, Lord, you're the one, you're the King of Kings. We know, and where they put it on Charles and said, now your responsibility, your job is defender of the faith. That is supposed to be your job. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to defend the Christian faith. You're supposed to defend the tenets of Scripture. But instead, you've got the media, which is talking about DEI and diversity, equity, and inclusion. And who do they want to include? Well, they want to include trans, and they want to include sodomites, and they want to include, the deviants. That's what they want to include. Think about that. The continued tearing down. And, oh, yes, let's make sure that we throw in there that, you know, this is all racism and racist this and racist that. And it's all about imploding and destroying. I've got another piece here. This is from 9/23/20. I'm going to tell you, I have no idea what we're about to hear. So just, I guess, here we go. All right, here we go. Let's try and get in here.
Welcome to Chosen.
And let me just share with you where I was. This is a picture. The broken bones here.
Okay.
Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. But sin is a slave master, and it only leads to destruction, either of self or of someone else. True freedom is found in becoming a slave to Christ. Our forefathers, our founders understood what it meant to be free and what
responsibilities freedom would bring. Paul says this, I am a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. It's interesting that the argument today is about slavery because this is the devil's deception. Remember the temptations of Jesus. In Matthew 4, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he'd fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Satan attempted to cause Jesus to question his identity. If you are who God says you are, Jesus Christ, then why can't you satisfy your hunger, fulfill your desire, get what you want? He offered two views for Jesus to follow. Deny who you are and thus lose the identity God has given you, or use this power, this identity, in a perverted way to get what you want. Do you see the parallelism to today? But he answered and said, this is Jesus, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus turned Satan's argument on its head by simply putting all the weight of the question of identity or gifting or power back where it belonged, in the hands of God. I will rely on the authority of God. In John 5:19, Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. And in John 8:28, Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. That's today's battle. Where does all power and authority rest? Under whose orders do we as Christians march to? Under whose orders do we as America march? Liberal historians have distorted American history and have caused us to question our heritage as a nation. They've made us believe a lie, just as Satan made Eve believe a lie in the garden, asking, did God really say? The confusion in the church is over the interpretation of the word of God being used and how one is supposed to understand it. It questions authorship, authenticity, the character of the men who wrote it, and whether it's a fact in the word of God, whether it is in fact the word of God. It is a fancy way to get to, did God really say? And this deception is the most original yet, and it still seems to entrap us. Jesus operated under the authority of the Almighty, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God, our Father, by his acts of love. Look how Satan calls into question both God's promise as well as Jesus' authority to act upon it. In verse 5 of this chapter 4, the temptations, the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. But Jesus answered and said, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Satan wants to challenge Jesus' reliance on the word of God, since that was his first response. Jesus again turns the argument around and points back to the ultimate authority of the Father, which had to make Satan extremely angry since he had rebelled against that authority and ended up thrown out of heaven. And again in verse 8, he said the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory and said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall not worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Now Satan makes his final plea, attempting to offer Jesus something that he'd come to take back anyway. And note that Jesus over and over and over again points to the authority of the Father rather than entering into an argument about his authority. He makes himself subservient to his Father and declares his Father's ultimate authority. This is a foretelling of Jesus' statements in John, where he said, I can do nothing apart from the Father. And then it says the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Jesus mirrored obedience to his Father in overcoming these temptations and shows us that we overcome not by who we are, but because we know who our God is. We are servants to him, acting on his authority, and there's no greater. The spirit of rebellion is permeating our streets. Portland's on fire. Seattle's on fire. There are movements of rebellion all across our country, but they're rooted in cities which are controlled by a godless local authority. Romans 1:28 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, Paul says, "I myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent and bold toward you. I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some, who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Romans 5:1 continues, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace, which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory." Acts 4:33 refers to that as great grace being upon them, powerful grace upon them. Galatians 2:20 says that we have the faith of the Son of God. And John 17:22 says, "And the glory which you gave me, I've given them that they may be one just as we are one." Romans continues, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Knowing who God is and knowing how he operated, we see every challenge as an opportunity to grow and to reach new levels of obedience and a future. "For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. This is the message of America that's rooted in hope for both now and eternity. Though it would seem we are battling flesh and blood, we are not." Ephesians 6:10 says it like this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand." Those warring against America.
And there you go, folks. Having done all, stand. God bless you, and have a great rest of your day.